The Bookshop in Wigtown is Scotland's largest second-hand bookstore. As we'll hear, its owner, Sean Biffle, is passionate about his job. Last year, his Diary of a Bookseller became a surprise success. It's frank and funny, and it's out now as an audiobook. So here's another chance to listen to the interview I recorded with Sean at last year's Wigtown Book Festival.
Orwell's reluctance to commit to bookselling is understandable. There is a stereotype of the impatient, intolerant, antisocial proprietor, played so perfectly by Dylan Moran in Black Books, that it seems, on the whole, to be true. There are exceptions, of course, and many booksellers do not conform to this type. Sadly, I do. It was not always thus, though, and before buying the shop, I recall being quite amenable and friendly. The constant barrage of dull questions, the parlous finances of the business, the incessant arguments with staff and the unending, exhausting, haggling customers have reduced me to this. Would I change any of it? No.
So, I'm delighted to be joined by Sean Biffle, who owns The Bookshop in Wigtown, one of the many bookshops, but this one is The Bookshop, and he has just had his Diary of a Bookseller published. So, Sean, tell us what it's all about.
Essentially, it's the sort of minutiae, the day-to-day humdrum of what happens in a second-hand bookshop, and it's written every day there's an entry, and it explains the sort of mechanics of how the business works. And I think the thing that people seem to like about it is the customer interactions, because you do get have some very odd conversations with people in bookshops, which you probably don't get in other sorts of retail.
Such as?
Well, you always get the hagglers every day. Today I've had one, someone who found a book for £220 and wanted it for £150. So that's pretty much a feature of the day-to-day running of the business. I don't know, but a lot of people come in looking for a book. You say you haven't got it, and then they carry on telling you why they want it, and at which point I think, why are you wasting my time? So, I mean, things like that. I mean, I suppose because every interaction's different, you know, you get the same patterns occurring, but such as the hagglers, but everyone does it differently, and some people are quite polite and friendly, and other people are quite rude and aggressive. So I suppose it's an attempt to show some of the range of the way people behave towards other people. But although I do give specific details, I like to think it's an eye-opener on the way people can behave and how rude some people are capable of being.
When I first saw The Bookshop in Wigtown, I was 18 years old, back in my hometown and about to leave for university. I clearly remember walking past it with a friend and commenting that I was quite certain that it would be closed within the year. 12 years later, while visiting my parents at Christmas time, I called in to see if they had a copy of Three Fevers in stock by Leo Walmsley, and while I was talking to the owner, admitted to him that I was struggling to find a job I enjoyed. He suggested that I buy his shop, since he was keen to retire. When I told him that I didn't have any money, he replied, "You don't need money. What do you think banks are for?"
And everybody's talking about it. I have heard people reading out passages and guffawing with laughter. Clearly, it's very much caught the imagination of this book town and further afield.
I very much hope so, because selling books is not an easy business. But I'm delighted that you've heard good reports of it, because I'm so immersed in it that I can't see it objectively anymore. It's just a thing. I'm glad people seem to be enjoying it, and it is coming out as an audiobook as well.
Fantastic. In the near future, is it being recorded now?
It's being recorded right now. So I can't remember who the actor is who's reading it, but apparently he's quite highly regarded. And the rights, there was a little competition for the audio rights between Audible and another audiobook production company whose name I forget. And in the end, I decided not to go with Audible because they're owned by Amazon. And most of the book is a theme running through the book is the destructive force that Amazon has exerted on an awful lot of business, but certainly bookshops have really suffered.
And you have met force with force. I have heard that you've made a few videos about the much-loathed Kindle.
Correct, yes. I've done three or four videos that at the first few seconds you would think it's an instruction tutorial on how to repair a damaged Kindle. And in the end, I've shot one with a 12-bore. I've hammered one to pieces with a huge hammer, and I've set fire to one to turn it into a Kindle fire.
Hello and welcome to another Kindle tutorial. This time I'm going to be showing you how to convert an ordinary Kindle, in this case a broken one, into a Kindle Fire, which is Amazon's flagship Kindle. Kindle Fire is Amazon's equivalent of the Apple iPad, which I have here. And with one very simple operation, we can convert this broken ordinary Kindle, which costs about £50, into a Kindle Fire. All you need is a Kindle, some petrol, and a box of matches.
Well, you've got your diamond, and you've got your pretty clothes, and the chauffeur drives your car. You let everybody know, but don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire.
Well, that seems to have done the trick, and I think it's a significant improvement on the original Kindle. Perhaps not quite as good as the iPad, and definitely not as good as a book.
Bearing in mind that your book is being made into an audiobook, are you a fan of audiobooks yourself?
I do like audiobooks because part of the job running the bookshop requires me to go to travel a lot. So I'm going to people's houses to buy their granny's books after she's died, whatever. So I'm in the car quite a lot, and I mainly listen to Radio 4. But I do quite like an audiobook as well. So although I'm not a huge fan of Tony Robinson, I think he did the Terry Pratchett books extremely well. So those are probably the favourites of what I've read so far, or I've listened to so far as audiobooks.
And will you be able to listen to The Diary of a Bookseller yourself, or will you be cringing behind the steering wheel?
I would undoubtedly be cringing. I'd probably cause a massive pile-up on the motorway or something. So I've had to reread it and rewrite it several times, so I'm pretty sick of it by now, to be honest. And I do read bits of it and think, oh my God, how could I have written that rubbish? But other people seem to like it, so as long as that trend continues, I'd be happy.
Well, as I say, it seems to be flying off the bookshelves here. I'm very much looking forward to listening to it as a talking book and any sequel that you may come up with. Presumably there is more material coming in every day.
Absolutely, and I'll be writing about meeting you in today's entry. So I've kept it going for, it's still going, and the year that's been published covers 2014, February 2014 to 2015. So I'm currently rewriting the second year, and I've got to send that to my agents. I said I'd do it before the festival, but I just haven't had time. So hopefully there will be at least one sequel, but I'm not banking on it.
Well, I'll keep my fingers crossed, and I'll see you again next year for an update. Sean, thank you very, very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Less than a year later, on the 1st of November 2001... a month to the day after my 31st birthday, the place became mine. Before I took over, I ought perhaps to have read a piece of George Orwell's writing published in 1936. Bookshop Memories rings as true today as it did then, and sounds a salutary warning to anyone as naive as I was that the world of selling second-hand books is not quite an idyll of sitting in an armchair by a roaring fire with your slipper-clad feet up, smoking a pipe and reading Gibbon's Decline and Fall, while a stream of charming customers engages you in intelligent conversation before parting with fistfuls of cash. In fact, the truth could scarcely be more different. Of all his observations in that essay, Orwell's comment that Many of the people who came to us were of the kind who would be a nuisance anywhere, but have special opportunities in a bookshop, is perhaps the most apposite.
Robin Lang, narrating The Diary of a Bookseller, written by my guest Sean Biffle. The Diary of a Bookseller is available commercially in print, audio, and even as an e-book.